Because of the coronavirus pandemic, 29 million adults and at least 17 million children are facing food insecurity across the U.S. To address this, President Joe Biden last week signed an executive order that expands various food benefits programs to help those who have suffered the most in the economic pullback.
A lot of these folks are facing eviction, are waiting hours in their cars, literally hours in their cars, waiting to be able to feed their children as they drive up to a food bank. It's the United States of America, and they're waiting to feed their kids.
Now, the president's order is part of his $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. Lisa Davis is the senior vice president of Share Our Strength Charity. It's the parent organization of the No Kid Hungry campaign, and she joins us now from Maryland. Lisa, welcome, and thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on, Callum.
So, Lisa, this new executive order calls for change to the way we address food insecurity in the U.S. And I want to start with SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Some people know it by its old name, food stamps. Can you explain how this is going to change, how the program is going to change, and how it might impact the people who qualify for food stamps?
So the executive order basically increases grocery benefits for families that are struggling in the wake of the COVID crisis. It gives them additional dollars on a program called Pandemic EBT, which serves kids who would be relying on free and reduced price lunches if the school buildings were open. And it directs USDA to increase benefits for some of the poorest families on SNAP. And then recognizing how inadequate SNAP benefits are, they equal only about $1.40 per person per meal. It also takes steps to start looking at making those benefits correspond with actual food prices and the time that families have to prepare food to modernize those benefits.
I think supplemental, right, is really the key word there, as you point out, that it is not enough to carry you through the entire month. And just to fill in the detail, the president wants to increase this special pandemic EBT program that you mentioned by 15% as a way of compensating for some of the meals that students may have lost if they were eating breakfast and lunch at school. Could you just fill in some more detail, Lisa, on how important those school-based meal programs are and what the loss of that has been during a pandemic when so many students are learning remotely?
Yes, school meal programs are critical. There are about 28 million kids that receive free or reduced price school meals. And when COVID started closing schools in March, our school nutrition professionals had to stand up entirely new meal programs literally over a weekend. And so at schools across the country, families can still come and pick up meals for their kids to take home. But there are a lot of families that don't have transportation, might be living with medically vulnerable relatives and limiting their trips into the community. And so it's really important that we have this program, Pandemic EBT, which gives those families money so that they can buy groceries to provide meals to their kids at home.
You know, I think there's rightly a big focus on children here. And you know, before the pandemic, there were about 10.7 million kids living in homes that were struggling with hunger in the U.S. That new estimate is up to 17 million. And I think the ripple effect there can mean that parents are skipping meals and making tough decisions to make sure that their children are fed. So I wonder if you could speak to that for a moment, Lisa. I mean, what is the root cause there and what can we do about it?
Yeah, Callum, I think it's important to realize that before COVID hit, we had ending child hunger in our sight lines. The number was the lowest it had been since 1998 when USDA started tracking it. So we know what works. And you're absolutely right. One of the strategies that families use to cope when they don't have enough resources for food is that parents skip meals so that their kids can eat. We know that kids that experience hunger are in poorer health. We know that they perform less well in school. And so the consequence of not making sure that our kids are nourished is very significant.
So in the bigger picture then, Lisa, I mean, what else would you like to see the new administration and Congress do to address hunger? Because it may be the direct programs like SNAP and WIC, or perhaps you're looking to something like increasing the child tax credit, which President Biden would like to do. And that would be just sort of money in the pocket, perhaps, that parents could use as they see fit, and it might be for food. Is it that kind of thing or something else?
I think any programs that get dollars to struggling families have a demonstrated impact on families' food security and also help serve to stimulate the economy. That's why SNAP is such a powerful tool. We know that families quickly spend the dollars on food, which is a basic necessity, and that helps keep folks employed at local grocery stores. That money gets poured back into the economy. When we look at the health and economic devastation facing communities all across the country, I think the risk is not that we spend too much. The risk is that we don't spend enough. And if we don't take action now, we really risk having a lost generation of children.
Yeah, there are so many overlapping issues there, and we'll have to watch and see how much of this pandemic relief package the president is able to pass through Congress. Lisa Davis is the senior vice president of Share Our Strength Charity. It's the parent organization of No Kid Hungry campaign. Lisa, thanks so much for your time and your good work.
Oh, thanks for having me, Callum.